Welcome to the Sleep Wire Show. It's week 11 in the 2018 fantasy season. This is producer Steve, and we are doing a very fast, what I'm going to call an express waiver wire trends and review show for week 10, because most leagues at this point, the trade deadline is passing. So we're not going to get into trades too much. If you still have trade questions, go to our website, sleeperwire.com. Send us your question through the free advice button, or you can reach us on the Sleeper app in the Sleeper Wire channel. Join that. Also, want to let you know, we're going to run through these games real quick today, like real quick. And something special tonight, we've got Draft Genius. He's going to be in the Sleeper Wire channel. There'll be a post where he'll be giving you live, free, instant waiver advice. You can also find our guy Jabba in the main chat, in the main advice thread on the Sleeper app. Later today, he'll be doing the same thing, giving you instant free waiver advice. Join us for either one of those chats, and we might even do a live show this evening. It's Tuesday, November 13th, so stay tuned for that. If you have the Mixlr app, you can find us on Mixlr.com/SleeperWire. All right, let's get right into it. Bye week's coming up. Two more to get through, 11 and 12. Week 11, the Bills, the Browns, the Dolphins, the Niners, the Jets, and the Patriots. Not a lot of offensive weapons there, but if you're a Patriots owner, you might pay attention to this. And, you know, there's some guys in there that you may be still using for depth. But let's jump into the Steelers and Panthers game. So the Panthers showed me two big areas of weakness this week, their offensive line and their secondary. The Steelers exposed both of these. Cam Newton, poor pass protection. They gave up 5 sacks, and Carolina's secondary just got torched relentlessly. If you started Big Ben, you were very happy. 5 touchdowns on the day. They went to McDonald, Brown, Juju. Jalen Samuels, who is a guy that I think I might add on waivers. We're trying to still wait and see what happens with Le'Veon Bell, but all signs point to him not playing this year. If you listen to producer Steve earlier in the year, and Max said it too, there's really no reason for him to play. In fact, it's just an opportunity for him to get injured and to derail his career. But I think if you got a chance to get Jalen Samuels on the waiver wire, it's not a bad depth move. James Conner did go into some concussion protocol, so Samuels is there. He might get some work. Another touchdown for Jesse James. Not a lot of receptions, just 1 for 8. So I think the only guy you're looking at for the Steelers is Samuels. On the other side, in the Panthers, Funchess and DJ Moore let you down. Not really great days, but again, that team was struggling throughout the whole game. I think you can still start Funchess relatively safely. DJ Moore, I'm souring on quickly. The Panthers play the Lions, the Seahawks, and the Bucks coming up, so a couple of plus mashups, especially against the Lions and the Bucks, they could get right. And the Steelers have the Jags, the Broncos, Chargers, and Raiders. A lot of good potential for them. The Bears and the Lions, wow. The Lions, to me, they're floundering. Maybe it's the loss of Golden Tate. I don't know, but they are really struggling. Not only on offense did they struggle, but they also struggled on secondary defense. Their run defense is still strong, but they could not protect Matthew Stafford again. Took 6 sacks this week, and I think the Bears could go to the Super Bowl. Hear me out. The big question mark is quarterback, but they got a very good defense. They've got explosive playmakers on offense. The big thing that they're missing is a consistent quarterback, because Trubisky will have his weeks, and then he'll have his bad weeks too. This was a good week. So I think you could start him against plus matchups. Coming up, the Vikings, the Lions again, the Giants, and the Rams. So there's a couple in there that I really like, Trubisky. If you got a waiver claim in for Anthony Miller already, good for you. He looks like the guy to own over Taylor Gabriel at this point. If you can grab him still, get Miller. If you're putting anybody against the Lions run defense, you might be a little concerned, but that Lions secondary is giving up points. So in the coming weeks, feel good about the Panthers, the Bears, the Rams, and maybe even the Cards towards the fantasy playoffs there. Also, Marvin Jones may be banged up, might miss some times. You might want to look at possibly adding TJ Jones or Bruce Ellington from the Lions receivers in deeper leagues. They may have some value there with Tate gone. Those guys might get some action. Saints and the Bengals was a tough game for Cincinnati. They were missing their top two linebackers as well as a starting quarterback. So pay attention to that middle and short game going up against that Bengals defense until those guys are back and healthy. Running backs were the second and third leading receivers for the Saints, so there's a little hint for you with the Bengals facing the Ravens and the Browns coming up next. Maybe a good game for Duke Johnson, maybe a possibly a good game for Ty Montgomery if he sees some action. I think at this point you're starting Ingram every week. I'm not sure if it was a matter of this defense being hurt, but you gotta roll the dice with this guy. He could have a big game at any given time. When he has the bad games, you know, what are you gonna do? It's hard to predict for him. Ben Watson showing up, targeted for a couple of touchdowns, didn't get him. Dez, though, is out. They may add Brandon Marshall. I think they actually have signed Brandon Marshall. I don't think Brandon Marshall's worth an add. Not sure you're going to get a lot of trust out of that guy right off the bat. I don't know if you feel good starting him. But pay attention to the Saints' left tackle, Teron Armstead. Monitor his shoulder injury. This is the same injury that he had before. I believe it's the same shoulder. So that hurts their offensive line a little bit on that left tackle side. Andy Dalton, however, struggles without A.J. Green. See, I think Andy Dalton's not a particularly great quarterback, even though he's had good games. His weaknesses are often covered by the fact that A.J. Green can make some fantastic catches, and Tyler Boyd is just not as good a catcher as A.J. Green. Couldn't bail him out. 0 for 6 on third downs this week, and Dalton just stunk. Ross got the touchdown, but only 2 receptions, and CJ Uzuma only 3 receptions. So you gotta believe that coming up, they'll try to use those guys a little bit more. Bernard saw only work in the second half. Hopefully he plays the full game. He might be more useful. But this team, I mean, you know who you're starting here. There's nobody I really want to get on waivers from either one of these teams. The Browns and the Falcons, a surprising game for the Browns, a surprising win. Baker Mayfield actually looked really good, super aggressive, pushed the ball downfield, was accurate, but the Falcons' defense stinks too. They will be getting a linebacker back pretty soon off of injury, we hope. So I think that when you're facing the Falcons' defense, they might be a little bit tougher, but you're still going to find some fantasy value there. Speaking of the Falcons, Mohamed Sanu, still flex-worthy in my opinion, had a pretty good PPR game, did lose the fumble, but I think he's still going to get you about, you know, 8 to 12 points, just floor, maybe a touchdown here or there. Ridley seems to have kind of fallen off. Austin Hooper had a hell of a game. I don't know if that continues every week, but was surprising, actually, because the linebacker for the Browns, Joe Schobert, returned. He's been out since week 6, and that was actually a big boost for the run defense. I didn't expect the tight end to have as much success with him back in the game, but you did see that run defense get better. Duke Johnson, I think, though, is worth the flex start from now on. Chubb is obviously a must start. The wide receivers for the Browns, though, I think I'm leaning, if you're going to grab one, waivers, I think you get Rashad Higgins. I just think he's the better overall player. Callaway hasn't proven it to me. You got Breshad Perriman in the mix, and Jarvis Landry was almost invisible this week. We got to hope that he bounces back. And Julio Jones, another touchdown. Good job, Julio. The Titans and the Patriots' New England's defense had no answer for Tennessee's scoring attack, which was missing right tackle Jake Conklin. Mike Vrabel is doing an excellent job coaching this Tennessee team. And Marcus Mariota played very well. His threat of running kept the Pats in zone coverage throughout the game, and he just picked them apart. 16 for 24 for 228 and 2 touchdowns. Slowed down a little bit in the second half, and they kind of let the defense and the run game salt the game away. So I think you got to feel pretty good about the Titans defense going forward for the rest of the season. They've got a couple of plus mashups in the fantasy playoffs. And I mentioned it last week, you might want to add Derrick Henry. I know it sucks. I know it sucks to even consider starting him, but he did score a couple of touchdowns, 58 yards on 11 carries. Again, this may be a situation where if they get up on a team, they just feed Henry. I mean, he's going to get some yards. He might get a touchdown or two. Worthy of a desperation flex play, I think. I don't think you're starting him as a starting running back, but he is going to possibly get you some more points. So on the running back landscape and waivers, if he's out there, I think he's worth an add. Corey Davis, who may be floating out there on waivers in a lot of leagues, might be worth picking up again. I don't know. This team seems to be playing better, and this is a trend I'm paying attention to. With the Titans playing the Colts, the Texans, and the Jets, there's some beatable secondaries there. There certainly is. And I could see Corey Davis making a flex start and paying off big. Deion Lewis, obviously, you keep starting him. He's just getting a ton of work, 20 carries this week. Patriots look discombobulated. Some drops, inaccuracies, and some weird play calling. And I think most of it was because of that defense on the other side. They rattled Tom Brady. He wasn't making the throws he's used to. Threw 12 times to Josh Gordon, only caught 4 of them though. So you might want to pay attention to maybe Hogan, Patterson, possibly even Dorsett. If you're desperate, add one of these guys on waivers. I think I'd wait till waivers clear and maybe look for one of them afterwards, especially if they don't get Gronk back. It's tough. It's really tough for the Patriots for the rest of the season to trust anybody for fantasy value. You got to believe Sony Michel's going to be okay. But James Devlin vultured a touchdown, and Rex Burkhead might be coming back. So we may go from that guaranteed one guy we can start to another, you know, committee of 4. So you'd never know with these guys. I would stay away from the Patriots for the most part for the fantasy playoffs because they are going to try to win games, and they're going to do it however they do it. There's nobody that they're going to count on 100% of the time. Colts and the Jaguars. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It wasn't Blake Bortles' fault this week. Nope, it was all in the defense. They could not stop the tight ends. They put no pressure on Andrew Luck all game. Eric Ebron scored 3 TDs. Somebody named Allie Cox scored a TD, and Dontrell Inman got involved. Don't know if I'd add him right away, but it's a possibility in the Super Deep League. He might get you a couple of points in PPR. But the Colts couldn't run the ball. Marlon Mack, not a good game. In fact, let's talk about Blake Bortles for a second. Actually had a pretty strong game. 320 yards, 2 touchdowns, pretty good pass completion. It looks like Moncrief was the guy, but actually Dede Westbrook had more receptions, not as many yards. I still think Moncrief is the only wide receiver you want to own in Jacksonville, but Westbrook could make a case for himself later in the season here. Also got to pay attention to Leonard Fournette with his return. Big game from him, although they did possibly lose Brandon Linder, their starting center, who was pretty much the best player on that offensive line. So you may see a little regression from that run game. Possibly some regression on the pass protection for the Jags. And I'm not looking forward to their next game at the Steelers. I think they might get really lit up by the Steelers. So be careful with the Jaguar starters. Again, Moncrief is the only guy outside of Fournette that I really trust on that team. The Bills and the Jets, well, the Jets just sucked. They got lit up by Matt Barkley. Matt Barkley, he took chances downfield, he avoided turnovers, everything Nathan Peterman never did, and Nathan Peterman's now out of a job. They released him. You had a good game from LeSean McCoy, don't know if you can count on that week to week, but both these teams have a bye in 11, so we'll see what happens if they make any adjustments. I would definitely not go and add Zay Jones, even though he had a hell of a game. Calvin Benjamin proved to be a complete bum, didn't catch a single pass. And a guy named Robert Foster just got 105 yards. Never heard of the guy. Probably never hear from him again. Don't do it. Josh McCown looked like a 39-year-old quarterback. And through a quarter and a half, listen to this, the Jets were averaging just 0.2 yards. That's a 0.2 yards per play through a quarter and a half. I think this team has given up on the coach. I think he's going to be fired soon. He may be fired during the bye week. And I think if you're owning anyone on the Jets at this point, it's Elijah McGuire, maybe Isaiah Crowell in deep leagues, but that's it. It's pure desperation. Herndon, the tight end, though, continues to get on the board in some points. So, you know, if you're desperate at the tight end position, he might be a last option for you. Redskins and Buccaneers. This game was crazy. So Tampa outplayed the Redskins. Nearly double the number of first downs, 29 to 15. They outgained the Redskins by over 200 yards. They averaged 2.2 more yards per play. And none of this, by the way, happened in garbage time because the score was only 16 to 3. So what happened? So Tampa Bay took 6 possessions into the red zone and only scored 3 points. So you had an interception. You had Fitzmagic running the wrong way, and then Cameron Brate dropped a pass. Then you had Fitzmagic took a bad sack. Then you had a botched snap. Then you had Jaquizz Rodgers losing a fumble. And then you had Mike Evans dropping a touchdown and a Fitzpatrick strip sack. So I don't know if you put the blame on Fitzpatrick, if you put the blame on the whole team. I've been saying it all year. The Bucs are stupid. They make a lot of dumb mistakes. They look unfocused. What's really scaring me is Mike Evans. Looks like he's not giving 100% effort anymore. DeSean Jackson, somewhat inefficient, very inefficient. And Godwin, really the only guy. If he's out there, grab him. Big game, might have another one. Adam Humphries, though, dump him. Don't see it. Fitzpatrick is the big question. Man, 400 yards, two interceptions, no touchdowns. You love the 400 yards. Man, throw two touchdowns in there. Yeah, you're loving it. It's so hard to get rid of the guy. Their upcoming schedule, the Giants, the Niners, the Panthers, the Saints. I like the first three right there a lot. I don't know if I'd start Fitzpatrick. Maybe against the Niners and the Panthers, but other than that, I'm going to keep him on my bench as a secret weapon. Don't get too excited about Jaquizz Rodgers. Good stat line. Well, I think it was all receptions, actually. Almost 8 for 8 for 102 yards, but he had the fumble. And we're going to talk about the Redskins offensive line. We mentioned it last week. We mentioned it a couple of times throughout various shows last week. That offensive line is banged up. They're hurting. And it will continue to hurt until they get right. And this is what you get when an offensive line is a mess. Adrian Peterson didn't have a lot of run. They couldn't move the ball. And you're going to look at this guy, Maurice Harris. The Redskins have a couple of tough defenses coming up. The Texans, the Cowboys, and the Eagles. The Texans defense is playing better. Cowboys are playing great. And the Eagles, they're hurting. They're hurting in the secondary. But I don't think there is a wide receiver that can dominate them for the Redskins. Chiefs and the Cardinals. The Chiefs played very sloppy in this game. They really got to practice, get better, because they got to face the Rams in Mexico City next. The only guy that really popped out to me in this game was Ricky Seals-Jones. 5 for 51, pretty good. Tight end, getting better throughout the season. I like this trend. I think I would start him as a tight end if I didn't have anybody better, or I was digging through waivers for tight end streamers. He might be pretty good. David Johnson got back on. Fitz and Kirk, I guess you got to start those guys every week if you got a chance to handcuff Hunt. Get Spencer Ware. Chargers and the Raiders. I just got to know, does Derek Carr suck? This team is in a tailspin. You cannot start any of these guys outside of a flex with a prayer. Jared Cook, Jalen Richard, and Doug Martin. They might get you a good floor. It's a question mark. If you can stay away from starting Raiders for the rest of the year, by all means, please do it. Don't take the risk. This team could implode and will continue to implode week in and week out. And their season doesn't get a lot easier. They have a pretty tough road for the rest of the year. So the Packers and the Dolphins had three offensive linemen out with injuries. We've seen this last year when their offensive line was banged up. And what does that mean? It means the running game can't get going. Although Frank Gore had 10 touches, Kenyon Drake only had 4. I'm afraid to say, but Gore is probably the only guy that you can trust to be on the field most of the time. I hope that we see Kenyon Drake on a new team next year where he can excel. Thing is, Drake needs lanes. He needs space to make use of his skills. And with the offensive line banged up, they're going to lean on the banger, Frank Gore, who can make things happen by himself. Not a lot of great things, but he'll make some things happen. And this team banged up even more with Devontae Parker, got a shoulder injury. Jakeem Grant has an injury, possibly Achilles injury. And cornerback Bobby McCain in concussion protocol after the game. So, you know, it comes down to last man, really, last man standing, which is Danny Amendola. After the bye this week, week 12, you got to hope Tannehill gets back in there. And I think the only guy you could possibly feel comfortable starting is Amendola. Maybe Stills on a whim. But I would stay away probably from Frank Gore and Kenyon Drake at this point. I mean, you'd have to be desperate to start either one of these guys. On the Packers side, really nothing crazy, just a great game for Aaron Jones. And MVS remains a good flex start in PPR. Rams and the Seahawks, so Cooper Kupp, done for the season with the ACL. You got to pick up Josh Reynolds if you have a chance. This guy, we've seen him go in with Cooper Kupp absent before. He is valuable in any size league, I believe, because that offense is so explosive. They're down to Cooks and Woods. They're going to put Josh Reynolds in. He is going to get play. He can play. He's not going to be as great as Cooper Kupp, but he's worthy of a flex start, I think, if you can get him. Because this coaching staff is really good for the Rams. They can beat nearly anyone, and they will find ways to attack your weaknesses. They did it this week against the Seahawks. The game planning was brilliant. They've done such good work preparation that they know exactly where you're weak and how to go after you. Seahawks side, man, I might be done on David. No, I'm definitely done on David Moore. I'm finished. Dropped a crucial pass. Dropping touchdowns the past couple of weeks, I'm out. I liked what I saw in the guy a couple of weeks ago, but I can't count on it anymore. Mike Davis had a pretty good game, but Rashad Penny. Okay, so back to last week when I was talking about you got to learn how to speak Carolese. Well, this is exactly what happened. Carroll talked about how Mike Davis was ready to go. He's going to be the guy. And then Rashad Penny, 12 attempts, 108 yards. Do you add him? I don't know. With Chris Carson possibly coming back next week, it gets even more confusing. I think this team is going to run. Who gets the most run and does the most with it? Anybody's guess. Hard to start any of them unless two of them are hurt. It's basically how I feel. Maybe you can start two if one is hurt and just roll the dice. Cowboys and Eagles, the Eagles really need to get it together. They had been pretty good about making adjustments through each game at halftime, coming out better in the second half. But things don't get any easier for them, and they're missing two of their top three cornerbacks heading into this game. And then Ronald Darby went down with an injury, so they're down three corners. They had no chance of stopping the Dallas offense. So how do you expect them to deal with Drew Brees next game? I don't. I really don't. I think they're going to go down early, and I think this Eagles team is going to take another loss. Right tackle Lane Johnson still injured, so Wentz faced constant pressure, and Golden Tate didn't really show us much, but I didn't expect too much. First game on a new team, it's going to take a couple of weeks for him to get integrated there, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'll tell you what, though, the Cowboys defense without Sean Lee, tight end heaven. If they don't have Sean Lee playing, start your tight ends against Cowboys. Alshon Jeffrey, slow game, not too great. Gotta hope he bounces back. The guy on waivers that everyone's gonna be talking about is Josh Adams. They've already come out and said we're gonna get him more work. I think I trust the coach. I think I trust my eyes that Josh Adams looks like the best runner. Again, it's not a great guy I wanna start, but possible flex value, possibly a spot start in the fantasy playoffs based on some kind of matchups. Prescott looked better, or did he just take advantage of an injured defense? I think it was just an injured defense. Cooper had only 6 out of 10 for 75, Beasley only 4, and Gallup only 2 in terms of reception. So you're not seeing a lot of action there from Prescott. But Pro Bowl guard Zach Martin got hurt in the opening quarter. He did return, but monitor that. When that offensive line gets hurt, especially Zach Martin, that entire run game takes a hit. And we saw this last year, so just be aware of that injury to the offensive line. Ravens, Vikings, Texans, and Broncos were all on bye, so we're not going to talk about any of those guys, except maybe the Texans. If Kiki QT is out on waivers, now would be a great time to pick him up. We're hoping that we see Foreman come off the PUP list over the week here. Maybe start next week, or this week, I should say. Maybe it will be until week 12. I think you got to still hold on to him. If he's physically ready to go, the guy offers a very aggressive, tough, pounding run style. And granted, we haven't seen much of that from the Texans run game this year. I think he offers something new, and he might surprise a couple of teams in the fantasy playoffs just by, you know, pounding the rock, because they're going to be so concerned about trying to stop Deshaun Watson. Broncos expect Royce Freeman back soon, so that's good for them. All right, so in terms of waiver wire targets this week, we're going to recommend Amendola. We're going to recommend Jalen Samuels. Doug Martin, if he's available still, might have a little value, although I don't really like him that much. And other running back handcuffs, either for your starting running backs or another team's starting running backs. Also, look at Josh Reynolds for the Rams. Look at Frank Gore again if he's out there. I think he's going to get more work. You could still definitely look at Theo Riddick. With the departure of Golden Tate, Theo Riddick saw some good action this week, and I think you'll continue to see that, especially if Marvin Jones misses time. Stafford trusts him. He knows him. And I think you trust him over a rookie wide receiver any day for a flex, Theo Riddick. Josh Adams is out there too. Herndon for the tight end people. Again, for the Titans, Henry Davis and Mariota all make interesting waiver claims. Could possibly use them in a fix. Anthony Miller, like him a lot. Rashad Penny, if you're desperate, grab him. He might see some work. RSJ again for the tight end people. Hooper possibly for the tight end people, although I don't know if he sees another huge game. He is usable. And finally for the Jags, I mentioned it before, Westbrook and Moncrief. I like Moncrief slightly better. But that is who we're looking at on waivers. Again, if you enjoy the shorter format of the show, thank you. Make sure you join the Sleeper Wire channel on the Sleeper app. Talk to Draft Genius tonight. He's going to put a post up there. He'll be answering your waiver questions live this evening, probably starting around 7 or 8 p.m. He will push that out so you'll get a notification, and he will take your questions live. Also, in the main fantasy chat, the fantasy advice chat, I should say, on the Sleeper app, join our buddy Jabba on there, and he will be doing the same thing. So we want to help you guys get to the championship. This week, you got to win. If you don't got to win, you still want to win. So we're going to help you out with live waiver help tonight, Tuesday, in both the Sleeper Wire channel and the main fantasy chat, fantasy advice chat on the Sleeper app. So if you don't have it, get it and look for our buddy Jabba and Draft Genius. They'll both be doing post live waiver advice. Thank you so much for tuning into the show this week. We'll be back next week with maybe a full show or maybe a short show. I'm not sure. This is producer Steve. I want to thank you again for listening, and don't forget, you can go to sleeperwire.com and send us questions through our website. Free advice button at the top of the page, and we will answer your questions as soon as we can, hopefully in 24 hours or less. All right, thanks for tuning in. Good luck this week.